Hello there, welcome along to the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show. Bruce Millington joined this week by Joe Champion. Steve Palmer still getting his breath back from Sweet Spot Live. We had some great fun on Sunday talking you through the final round of the Open. Thank you so much. We had fantastic audience figures. Definitely looking to do that again. Meanwhile, back to the regular stuff this week, and as well as looking back on the Open and an amazing collapse in the American event last weekend. Joe is armed with tips for three events. We've got European Tour action. We're back in action over in America, and we've also got one of the most significant ladies events. And if you really want to be exotic and start doing stuff like each way lucky 15s, there's also the seniors British Open. But Joe hasn't had a chance to look at that, so he's not going to try and mug you off with any tips that he hasn't researched properly. Okay, Joe, first of all, how did your Open tips go last week? I think you, like Steve, were all over Brooks, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. And obviously, Brooks did place in the end, so that was good news for us. I never looked like winning, did he? But we'll take a place from where he was going into Sunday. And Jordan Spieth was my other kind of main pick. So obviously, a bit disappointing, but overall, a good tournament for me personally.
Good. Well done. And obviously your super sub, because your appearances when you've been standing in for Steve have been spectacular. So you're under all sorts of pressure to deliver the goods this week. Colin Morikawa, though, I mean, that was a hell of an exhibition, wasn't it, Joe? I mean, he just put it to bed. He was relentless. He just he out-oosthazened, didn't he, really? He was just finding fairways. His fantastic iron play was getting him great positions on the greens. And he held clutch putts. I mean, it was good, wasn't it? And at 24, he's got some future, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a wonderful player, isn't he? You mentioned his iron play. I mean, that really is the key to his game. It's just so good. It's miles clear of anyone else, I think. Probably the best iron player we've seen since prime Tiger Woods, in my opinion. And the putting is the problem with Morikawa, isn't it? But he was brilliant on Sunday. I kept thinking he was going to miss and let in Spieth, and he just never did. He was holding in, you know, 15-footers to save par at one point, to make birdies. When he puts like that, he's really hard to stop, isn't he? I find it very difficult to see who's going to stop Morikawa when he's in that kind of vein. The greens at Royal St. George's were a bit slower, weren't they? I think that probably helped him, but fair play to him. He got it done. He never really looked like losing.
I don't think he's going to be 40-1 again anytime soon, is he? Spieth was almost the opposite, wasn't he? I mean, Spieth's obviously wayward off the tee, so can get himself into trouble, but he's just an amazing competitor, isn't he? And you know, this is the year of the Spieth comeback, isn't it? I think he's going to be in contention loads now, isn't he?
Yeah, it's great to see. He's one of my favourite players to watch. He's so exciting. You mentioned on the Sweet Spot Live that he gets a few lucky breaks. But yeah, as Steve mentioned, he's just got such a good golfing brain. He does things. He misses in the right areas, even when he does miss a lot of the time. And it's great to see him back to something near his best. I still think there's probably a bit more to come from him. But he's very close to winning another major. And you'll have to think, watch out for Augusta in April.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Oosthuizen now, I think that's four top threes in the last five majors, which is an incredible effort, isn't it? There were a lot of people saying he choked. I don't think he choked. I mean, I think people use that label a little bit too free, don't they? I don't know whether he just hasn't got that other gear that you need to go to, but he's still someone who, you know, when the majors come around again next year, if you're looking at top five, top 10 and top 20, and particularly each way with extra places, he's got to be on everyone's radar, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. He's playing in America this week, Louis. So, you know, I always think in majors, you can back him and expect him to place, but you wouldn't touch him anywhere else. But he's just a major man. He comes to the party when the pressure's on you. His final rounds, you know, he hasn't got it done, but he didn't really lose it against Mickelson. He didn't really, you know, hit that one left when Rahm won, but Rahm really went out and took it from him. And Morikawa, he wasn't going to reel him in unless he played brilliantly in the final round. And he didn't play terribly. He didn't choke, I don't think, but he just didn't win. I mean, he's unfortunate, but he'll have another chance, and he'll be looking at St. Andrews next year as well, where, of course, he's never been beaten in over 72 holes. He won it, and then he lost a playoff there the year that Zach Johnson won. So he's another to look out for in that next year.
Absolutely. What did you make of Big Johnny Rahm? Because on Sunday, all we saw was him just burning the hole. He gave himself so many chances. If he putted like an absolute king, he might just have put some pressure on Morikawa.
Yeah, he's just an incredible golfer, John Rahm, isn't he? We've seen time and time again over recent weeks just how good he is. He really lost it on the Thursday, didn't he? You know, it's just a slow start. You can win from that position, but when you're up against someone like Morikawa getting to 15 under, it's very difficult. But yeah, he really showed his class over the weekend.
And Joe, one thing I thought about, it was a pretty dismal, in a Rama pie, it was a pretty dismal open for Europeans, wasn't it? I had a little butchers at the Ryder Cup prices. You can get 4-6 America on home soil, Whistling Straits. I mean, that's a bet, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But we said this before when it comes to the Americans. Their squad always looks so strong. And then, yeah, Rahm's going to have to play out of his boots. Victor Hovland, I think, could be a big player, but we don't know how he's going to get on his Ryder Cup debut. The US squad is much stronger than the Europeans on paper. But as I say, we've said that before. And, you know, that I remember in France, everyone thought that the US team were not a shoo-in as such, but definitely, you know, the team to beat. And then Europe went and wiped the floor of them.
I just think 4-6, I have to say that it's tempting. Any other players to note from the Open?
Yeah, I think some of the younger guys, Scottie Scheffler, he acquitted himself really well on his Open Championship debut. He's obviously a player to watch. He looks like, you know, every week he plays well on the PGA Tour. Won't be long before he wins, and it probably won't be long before he wins a major as well if he keeps going the way he's going. And Bob McIntyre as well played very well. He's actually going to the US this week, where he's got a good chance to get his PGA Tour card. So probably doing the right thing there in terms of his future development, although it may be detrimental to his chances of making the Ryder Cup squad.
Okay, let's just turn our attention quickly to the Barbasol, which I guess a few people, if you weren't completely golfed out after the Open, might have had an interest in. I must admit, I went to sleep with JT Poston 4 clear and looking like he'd absolutely drilled it. And I'd laid him at a short price, and I woke up in the morning and lo and behold, he's blown it. What happened?
Yeah, he really had a shocker going down the back nine. I think I did exactly the same thing as you, Bruce, to be honest. It was a long old day watching the Open, and I went to bed with Poston sort of cruising, and then he double bogeyed the par 5 15th, which, I mean, when you've got a 3 or 4 shot lead, you might get away with it, but when you've got Seamus Power chasing you down, who's really should be applauded for how he's played over the last few weeks, then it's a bad way to lose a tournament, really, when you're so in control of that. But like you,
and he
I didn't
found
exactly
water
what
in
happened.
The playoff as well, I think, didn't he? Blew the playoff hole spectacularly, didn't he?
Yeah. I just don't see how it's just bad course management when you've got the lead in 72 holes. Like, losing a playoff's one thing, but when you're that far ahead, you really shouldn't be finding water off the tee on a par 5.
Tell me a bit about Seamus Power, because he suddenly jumped onto everyone's radar, hasn't he? What's his story?
Yeah, so Irishman Seamus Power, he's very much sort of been playing himself into form recently. I think he's had sort of came into the Barbasol on the back of 5 top 20 finishes on the PGA Tour in more difficult events than that one, definitely. And he was sent off joint favourite alongside Charles Schwartzel last week. And I wrote in my column for the Racing and Football Outlook that as well as he's been playing, I don't think I could back anyone at 16-1 in the Barbasol, because it's wide open and you never really know who's going to turn up and win. But really good stuff from Seamus Power, who's been sort of cutting his teeth on the Corn Ferry Tour and made it to the PGA Tour. And now he's a PGA Tour winner, and he'll be exempt for a couple of years to get into the US PGA Championship with that win. So well done to him.
Absolutely well done. Right then, let's look ahead, shall we? We'll start with the 3M Open in America. I'll take you through the prices. Dustin Johnson 7-1, Tony Finau 14s, Ustase and 14s, Patrick Reed is 18s, and it's 25-1 bar. I guess, Joe, the first thing to say is this is the kind of event where Johnson puts himself down, he's entered up, he's a very short price, and all of a sudden he doesn't play. That has happened 2 or 3 times recently, hasn't it? And I guess that's because there's no Rule 4 deduction or anything in golf. If you back anyone else, that's always a benefit. If you back Johnson, he doesn't start, you get your money back. But we better start with him, hadn't we? Will he play? And if he does, will he win?
Well, as far as I know, he's going to play. The thing is with DJ, we have seen him withdraw a couple of times recently, not for the last few months, though. We know he's had a few sort of small injury niggles. In this tournament, actually, last year, he shot a dismal 78 in the first round and then withdrew straight after. I think I put him up for it last year, so I didn't want to make that mistake again. But I feel like he played really well at the Open, kind of under the radar top 10 finish, which is his best effort for some time. And he's undoubtedly the man to beat. But I mean, we haven't seen enough from him really over the last few months to suggest that you want to be steaming in at 17-2. I could see why people might back him, but he's not really for me this week.
What sort of track is this, Joe? Where are we in America?
We're in Minnesota, Blaine, Minnesota, at TPC Twin Cities, which is a big Arnold Palmer designed water laden layout. It's another low scoring test that we can expect this week. That's what we've had a lot on the PGA Tour recently. I think after, you know, the US portion of the major season ends, there's a few sort of lower key, low scoring tournaments that come along before the playoffs. And, you know, I think Matt Wolf won the first 3M Open 2 years ago at sort of 20, 21 under. And then Michael Thompson won last year at 17 under, I think it is. So you want someone who's going to be able to, you know, roll those birdie putts in this week. This isn't a difficult test for these pros, so you can expect low scoring.
And how many tips?
I've got 5 for this one, Bruce.
5 for this one? Right then, far away. Who's the main man?
Okay, so my best bet this week is one of Steve's favourites. It's Maverick McNealy, who's been playing himself into form recently in these similar sort of low scoring events that I've talked about. I think that's where he's going to get his first PGA Tour win. He's an excellent putter, McNealy, and that's what you'll need this week. And he's got a solid tee to green game as well. He's been playing himself into form, 20th at Colonial, 30th at the Travelers, 21st at the Rocket Mortgage and 18th at the John Deere. So he's on the cusp of contending. I don't think he needs to step up that much further. And we've seen that he can contend in PGA Tour events. He was second at Pebble Beach in February, where he was beaten only by Daniel Berger in much stronger field than this one. And then he was also fourth in another strong field at the Heritage in April. He was runner-up as a Korn Ferry Tour player. He was runner-up on an Arnold Palmer-designed track at the Suncoast Classic in 2019. So we know he can cope with these water layouts. And I think McNealy, you know, if he rolls in the putts, then he looks a real surefire contender this week.
I'm looking at 40s. Have you seen anything bigger than 40s out there, Joe?
No, I think that's about right.
Okay, jolly good. Who's the second selection?
So the next one is Doug Gim, who finished 18th on the 3M debut last year. And he's been solid without really being spectacular this season. But he's a player who's sort of improving gradually. And most notably, he played well for 3 rounds at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He played really well. I think he was in the final group going on, or maybe the penultimate group on Sunday. And then he shot a terrible 81. I think it all just got to him that day, but he was playing alongside these really big names. He's not going to necessarily get that this week. We've only got sort of 4 or 5 real star names in the field. And this is the sort of track where he should go well, really. The Arnold Palmer, similar sort of water laden layout. Obviously, this track was designed by the great man himself as well. And Gim's recent form is good. He's 32nd at the Rocket Mortgage and 18th for the John Deere. His putter does need to warm up a bit, but he's 33rd in birdie average on the PGA Tour this season. Obviously, much higher in this field as well, with a lot of the big names staying away. And much of that's down to his superb approach play. He ranks 16th for strokes gained approach this season, so he should create plenty of birdie chances.
Okay, and he's a 50-1 poke. Then who have we got?
So the next one is a 4-time PGA Tour winner. It's available about 70-1, and that's Chris Kirk, who's really been showing glimpses of getting back to his best without really contending. He's a solid all-round performer, Chris Kirk. He obviously took some time out of the game. He's well-documented off-course problems that we won't go into too much. But he's come back. He's battled back to somewhere near sort of an area where he can start thinking about winning again. He was 8th for the Arnold Palmer, 6th in Texas, 7th for the Heritage, 12th for the Rocket Mortgage. He even qualified for the Open last week. He teed it up at Royal St. George's. He did miss the cut, but he shot a first round 68, which was more than respectable, I think, considering, you know, he's not going to be known for his links prowess necessarily. So I think Chris Kirk, yeah, definitely a sort of solid all-round player who has the ability to go low in events like this.
Okay, you say we won't go into it in too much detail, but very briefly summarise what those off-course problems were.
So he had a struggle with drink.
Oh, I see. Okay, fair enough. But he's back on the straight and narrow.
I won't go too far into it. But,
that's all right. Okay. Yeah. And he's around about 70-1. Are you sticking with big prices for your other two selections as well, Joe?
Yeah, I've got 2 free figures now. One of them would not be free figures if it wasn't for his poor form. And that's Cameron Champ, who really did bounce back to something closer to his best at the John Deere Classic last time out when he finished 11th. We know how good Cameron Champ can potentially be. He's still great off the tee. He still gets the ball a mile out there. Only Bryson hits it further than him. And when in form, he's an absolute birdie machine. He won the Sanderson Farms at 21 under and the Safeway at 17 under. We're kind of taking a chance here that he's still in form after the John Deere, but he's still got that tee to green game. He just needs to putt better. He's putted abysmally this season, but at the John Deere Classic, he was positive on the field for strokes gained putting. I think if he turns up in the same vein, he's got a big chance, and those are big odds for him. And the last one is Brandon Hagee. He was sixth for the Rocket Mortgage and 18th for the John Deere Classic, driving well and putting superbly. He was runner-up on another water-laden track at the Honda Classic, which Michael Thompson won in 2013, and Michael Thompson's your 2020 3M Open winner. So there's a bit of course correlation there to go on.
Okay, and very quickly with the market leaders, you've got Johnson, you've got Finau, you've got Oosthuizen, and we've got Reed. I suppose they're the big four, aren't we? If you were going to be tempted by any of those, who would you have gone for?
I think DJ probably, but to be honest, he's short enough. Finau and Oosthuizen don't win enough, and if they do win it, chances are it might well come in a major. Patrick Reed missed the cut last week, and this doesn't seem like his sort of test. I think he wants it a bit harder than this.
Okay, jolly good. All done there. Let's go to Wales now. Celtic Manor hosts the Kazoo Open. And Matt Wallace is your favourite here. He's 9-1. It's Sam Horsfield, 12s. Justin Harding is 16s. Aaron Rye, 16s. Rick Hunter's 20s. And it's 22-1. The Jordans, Jordan Smith and Matthew Jordan. Also, Otter Gay is 22s. And it's 30 bars. So we're back to bread and butter European, pretty starless fare. We all know Celtic Manor obviously staged back-to-back events last year, didn't it, after the restart. No great secrets, Joe. Again, water. It's a pretty well-known layout, isn't it? How many selections have we got in this?
I've got five more for this.
Five more for this. Fire away with your main selection, then.
So my best bet this week is Matthew Jordan, who just mentioned struggled a bit at the start of the year, but he's performed with immense credit in tougher events than this in recent weeks. He was 17th for the BMW, which is another strong driver's track. We're looking at strong drivers this week at Celtic Manor. You know, they're wide fairways, but if those who can get the ball down the fairway are at a big advantage on this course. And after 17th for the BMW, he was then 12th for the Irish Open and 18th for the Scottish Open. Now, Matthew Jordan is one of the best drivers on the European Tour. He needs to improve his accuracy a bit, but that's come good in recent weeks. He ranked 14th in strokes gained off the tee at the BMW and was second in Ireland. And a repeat of that should see him go well here. And the main thing for Matthew Jordan backers this week is that he played in this event last year. We should mention, of course, there were two events staged at Celtic Manor last year, the Wales Open and the Celtic Classic. He finished 47th in the Celtic Classic on his Celtic Manor debut. And then he rocked up a week later and finished third behind Romain Langasque in the Wales Open. So Matthew Jordan, a very good bet this week, I think. He's in form and he likes this course.
Okay, Joe's put the fan back on because he was wilting. Honestly, Joe, lucky you weren't doing Sweet Spot Live. Me and Steve were stuck indoors for 4 hours, 34 minutes. It was absolutely outrageous. You can't even handle it after 10 minutes, you youngsters. No stamina. Anyway, as long as you tip some winners, that's all that counts. Matthew Jordan is your headline act. Who are you going for your main danger?
So the next one is another Jordan. It's Jordan Smith, around 25-1, another strong driver who finished 22nd and 27th in two spins at Celtic Manor last year, which I think is decent enough form and something that he can definitely improve on. He's showing signs of getting back to his best recently. At the British Masters, he was 17th, and then he went up to Himmerland and finished third rather in the maiden Himmerland, then 11th for the European Open on that strong driver's track. That got him into the US Open, where he rocked up at Torrey Pines and he missed the cut on the number. Which, you know, there's absolutely no disgrace in that. He'd never played Torrey before, and then he goes and nearly makes the cut in the US Open. It's the cut again in Scotland 2 weeks later, but he struck the ball well from tee to green. He just didn't putt well enough. I think that, you know, this is a different type of test from one that Jordan Smith should really adapt well to. It's not a links test. It's a resort course, one where he can go low and he can utilise his driving to get in contention.
Okay, so we've got Jordan Smith as the big danger to Matthew Jordan, and then three others. Who are you going to go for?
Yeah, so the next one has been well backed over the last days. He's a South African slugger, and that's Danny van Tonder, who his strokes gained off the tee numbers this season on the European Tour. Quite incredible, actually. He leads the European Tour in strokes gained off the tee by a long way. He's half a shot better per round than anyone else on the European Tour, which is it's quite an amazing statistic for a guy who didn't even have a European Tour card 4 months ago. He obviously was a prolific Sunshine Tour winner, claimed the Savannah Classic in Kenya in March. And the interesting thing about the Savannah Classic is that That's a course where Sam Horsfield played really well, who won the Celtic Classic. I think he was eighth and second in Kenya, and then Romain Langasque was fifth there as well. I don't know if they're perfect fits, but that's a kind of nice correlation for you there. I think Van Tonde went really well at the Open last week through the first two rounds. All got a bit much for him over the weekend. This isn't the Open, though. I think he's got a great chance this week, and I can see why he's been well backed already.
Yeah, he's 33-1. And finally, your other two selections, Joe.
So the next one is Will Besseling, a consistent Dutchman who's made 8 of his last 9 cuts on the European Tour. Another good driver. He's finished in the top 25 in 4 of his last 5 events. 17th in Ireland last time out, where he ranked 3rd in strokes gained off the tee behind Thomas Peters and Matthew Jordan. And he was 11th in the Celtic Classic last year. So I think he can have another big week. And the last one is, I'm happy to chance this man at treble figure odds. He's not been in great form, but it's Callum Shinquin, another long off the tee type guy who won the Cyprus Open from pretty much out of the blue last year. That's pretty much what I expect from Callum Shinquin. He'll pop up somewhere, and it may well be this week. He's played both events in Wales last year. He's 11th and 8th, and he opened with 69 at the Scottish Open before missing the cut. He has to improve. He has to putt better, but he obviously likes this track, and he could spark back into life at about 125-1.
Okay, there's a bit of a watch your bets there, actually, because I was just looking at the prices there, and I had to put my glasses on because I thought I saw him at 160, but that's actually Cormac Sharvin. So if you're backing Callum Shinquin, just seriously, don't get confused between C. Shinquin and C. Sharvin. Okay, that's it for the main events in Europe and America. But as we mentioned, we've got the Evian Championship over in France, where some of the top female players are performing there. And a quick taste of the prices there. Nelly Korda, 9-1 favourite. Jin Young Ko is 11-1. Hyo Ju Kim is 14s. Inbi Park, 16s. As is Si Young Kim, and I've got to put my glasses on, and Aria Zhutangurgan, she's 18s. It's 22-1 bar. How many tips you got for this then?
I've got 3 for this one, Bruce.
Go on then, spin through them nice and quick.
We should mention that with the Olympics next week, a few of the big names in the market have not bothered to turn up this week. They obviously don't fancy missing out on Tokyo. That takes out the likes of Lexi Thompson and Danielle Kang. And Lexi Thompson, I should mention, has been critical of this course in the past. She thinks it's unfair. She was 2 years ago when it was last stage. She said she was thankful to miss the cut, so she didn't have to play the second two rounds. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not backing Nelly Korda this week. As good as she is, I feel like this is the sort of track where if something goes wrong early, she could unravel. You know, I tipped Nelly Korda last time out when she won the women's PGA, and she was excellent. But I think you need patience to win here, and that's why my best bet is Jin Young Ko, who's the defending champion this week. That was the same. She won at the same time that Lexi Thompson was moaning about how difficult the course was. Didn't seem to bother Jin Young Ko. Got to a nice sort of double digits under par total, and she always comes to the fore in majors. She's finished 7th or better in 6 of the last 9 women's majors to be staged since the start of 2019. She's won 2 of them, and as was the case with Korda, she won her last event at the Volunteers of America Classic 3 weeks ago. So I think she should be absolutely primed for this test. That's Jin Young Ko.
Okay, who else?
And 2 more. One of them is Megan Kang, who's just a consistent LPGA Tour operator. She's finished in the top 30 in each of her last 5 events, including when 4th at the Women's US Open. And this is a major where she was 8th in 2019. 6 major top 10 finishes at just 23 years of age. And I think she's decent value at sort of around 50, 55-1. And the last one is Jennifer Kupcho, who's about 70-1. She won the Augusta Women's Amateur in 2019. So that's the tournament they have a couple of days before the Masters. And then she turned professional and finished runner-up to Jin Young Ko in this major a few months later. Kupcho's finished 13th or better in her last 4 events on the LPGA Tour, 3 of her last 4 events, rather. And she was also 2nd at the Drive On Championship in March. She hasn't won yet, but she should go close soon, and I expect it could be this week.
Okay, brilliant. We also have this week the Senior British Open, and I'm going to call it the British Open. Do you know one thing that's really got on my nerves lately, Joe? He did a lovely speech, didn't he, Morikawa? Really nice speech. Lovely. What a fine young man he is. And he committed the crime of calling it the British Open. And you get all these idiots going, oh, it's the Open, it's not the British. Shut up. It doesn't matter. They're just trying to they refer to it as the British Open because they're not from Britain and there's loads of Opens, okay? If your life is so perfect that you need to complain about the fact that some people call it the British Open, then I'm jealous of you. Honestly, it's pathetic. Right, anyway, we've got the Senior British Open at Sunningdale. Just to give you a taste, 4-1 Jim Furyk, 13-2 Retief Goosen, 13-2 Bernhard Langer, 15-2 Jerry Kelly, 8-1 Miguel Angel Jimenez, 11 Zerny. I've blown them back to all these people so often in the past, and 14 Bar. Who's doing the preview for the paper this week, Joe?
Ian Wilkerson will be doing it.
Okay, and we can obviously get more on why you fancy your selections in the Racing and Football Outlook this week and every week. That's always out on Tuesdays. Okay, then, let's recap your selections for this week, Joe, and we'll start with the 3M Open.
So it's Maverick McNeely, Doug Gim, Chris Kirk, Cameron Champ and Brandon Hagee.
And in the Kazoo Open?
Matthew Jordan, Jordan Smith, Daniel Van Tonder, Will Besling and Callum Shinquin.
And in the Evian Championship?
Jin Young Ko, Megan Kang and Jennifer Kupcho.
Beautiful. Well done, Joe. Thank you very much indeed, my friend. I hope you didn't quite boil over because you were getting a little... If you're a racehorse there, I think you were sweating up at the start quite badly, won't you?
But yeah, I'm on the drift, I think, Bruce.
We made it through. Okay, next week, I think Steve's back, hopefully, in which case we will be looking at the ISPS Handa World Invitation, and of course we've got the Olympics as well over in Japan. That should be very interesting as well, so yeah. Hopefully you can join us for another sweet spot next week.